Is Kevin Scorsone boogie boarding, or is that maybe one of your kids?
I am absolutely boogie boarding.
Welcome back to another episode of Mint Money, your guide for all things personal finance in the mitten. So Kevin, for all the audio listeners out there, I think one thing that we have to address is we're both wearing nearly the same identical outfit.
Yeah.
Same shirts. I feel like this could be a problem with our industry.
Yeah, right.
We need some more colorful clothes out there. So, yeah. I mean, how did you arrive? Because I derive a lot of my clothing decisions from people who I think, okay, they're pretty smart people.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. I hate doing shopping myself.
Yeah.
So how'd you arrive at, I think Charles, what's the last? What's
Charles Terwitt.
Yeah, Terwitt. Okay, yeah. We'll go with it. So how'd you arrive with their shirts?
Boy, I've been wearing their shirts for probably at least 15 years. I'm sure it was just I was goofing around on the internet or somehow their marketing caught up to me at some point. But I love that I can customize them. You know, you can add a pocket. You could add your initials if you want. You can customize the cuffs, although I'm pretty simple when it goes to the cuffs. But I have delved into the French cuff once or twice before. It's been a long time. Customize the collars. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're affordable and pretty good quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's how I arrived there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, great shirt. And we do apologize for any listeners if you get some automated ads now from this podcast.
Right.
But you can't go wrong with the shirts. You can't go wrong with the shirts. But going into today's topic, we're talking about all about budget-friendly traveling.
Yep.
So you can spend more money on dress clothes or some other things.
Oh, absolutely.
You might find good with your life. And so you're a pretty accomplished traveler yourself. Been to probably north of 10, 15 countries, right?
I couldn't count it, but I would say, yeah, it's probably somewhere around there. Yeah.
I think I've been to personally 10 or 15 countries. And so when I was from 1 to 5, I was with my parents and my brother over in Japan. My dad had a job transfer. And so I got to go visit a lot of local countries. And so South Korea, Australia, got to go around there quite a bit. But unfortunately, I don't remember a lot from some of those experiences. And so traveling is something that we all can take great pleasure in. You know, it's definitely not only going on the trip, but planning for the trip, having the countdown on your phone. All right, I have 15 days till I go to XYZ. Can certainly be a good mental boost. But if you were to go kind of recount, where if you had the most fun?
Yeah.
If you kind of have to generalize it. Now, fun can be a lot of different things, whether it's family fun or maybe a trip that you and your wife took. But where has been your favorite trip so far?
First thing I'd say is, to your point, I think it's always important to have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is quite commonly that's traveling, right? So we travel frequently as a family. Jody and I used to do a lot of traveling individually, but now that my parents are a bit older and our kids are younger, we're kind of caught in that sandwich generation where it's difficult for the two of us to take just a trip, the two of us. But in terms of favorite places to travel, there's so many. I mean, I love traveling to the Caribbean. But if I had to choose like one, a favorite spot and a spot that I want to explore much more, it would definitely be Europe. We've only been to Europe a couple of times. So I've been to Paris a couple times and I've been to Barcelona. So I just absolutely love the architecture, the history, the culture, love everything about it. And I'd love to go there. In fact, my goal at retirement is to go to Europe for, you know, maybe 3 to 6 months and just spend time traveling, but really without a plan, to go there, you know, maybe start in London and then travel around, as we like.
I think you left out that you're also a big soccer fan too.
Oh yeah. Huge soccer fan. So when we do go to Europe, like I said, which we have been twice, each time we've been to soccer matches. So I saw Paris Saint-Germain play in Paris. I saw Barcelona play twice in Barcelona. And I saw Espanyol at their grounds in Barcelona as well.
How big are those sports stadiums? I mean, compared to, like a college. I mean, I know college football over here, you can get some big stadiums. I think Michigan's north of 100,000 people. I mean, so are you talking the same scope for some of those soccer fields?
Yeah. If I recall, I don't recall the Parc des Princes, which is where Paris Saint-Germain play, but where Barcelona play, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of it right now, I want to say it's about 80,000. I mean, it's huge. It's quite big. And the thing that I really like about those games are the rituals. So the chants and the songs that they have for like different players, even the pregame that they do, everything about it is a spectacle, which is similar to the U.S., but I would say it's a little, it's different, particularly in-game, right? The chants and the different songs that the fans sing. It's not just sort of, you know, rah, rah, go. There's like songs that they've written and sing throughout the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I got to say, for my favorite travel experience, my wife and I went on a honeymoon to Kauai back in 2019 and had a blast out there. Oh, yeah. Now, what's unique about Kauai, I forget where the actual percentage might be, so don't fact check me on this, but I think north of 90% of the island is undeveloped.
Wow.
And so Rose and I, my wife, we had the immense opportunity of going to the different Hawaiian islands, different points in our life. So we've both been to Maui in the past, both been to Oahu in the past. So Kauai was on our bucket list. And there's so many beautiful hikes out there.
Yeah.
Just being out there with nature and just had an absolute blast out there. But you're also traveling halfway across the world too. And so that's why we want to go talk about this topic, because you can go make that dollar stretch from, okay, $1, $2, maybe use some frequent flyer mile points out there, help make it cheaper.
Yep.
Hey, you can go to that soccer game. You might even be able to go sit front row. So what are some of the ways you like to go think about budget-friendly travel?
Well, one of the first things that I think you have to do is you got to do a lot of research, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to get online. You have to read, right? Like Rick Steves' books, I really enjoy a lot because he's a budget traveler as well. And you have to just search the internet a number of different ways, just, you know, using different language in your searches, right, to try and find out when are the best times to travel to different locations. Because in particular, right, I don't want to go to, I don't know, let's call it London when it's at its like peak season, right? I'd much rather go when it's a little less busy. And it just so happens that it's less expensive during those times too. So I think you'll find it's maybe more enjoyable and definitely more affordable when you're off season. So I think looking at off season times is one of the first things you should do when you're trying to travel on a budget.
Do you ever do any red eyes? Any red eye travel? I've attempted to go to some in the past, but man, you were just beat and beat and beat the next day. I mean, it's no fault to, you know, the airplanes that you're traveling on. I mean, they're doing their jobs just fine. But when we were coming back from Kauai, we did a red eye going from Lihue Airport, which is out of Kauai, to Seattle. And we were zonked out the next day, completely zonked out.
I haven't done a red eye, but I will say, you know, traveling overseas, particularly, I guess in either direction, right? But when going to Europe, when you arrive, it can be really challenging. Like the first time we went to Paris, I think we got in at like 9 a.m, which was like, you know, 3 a.m. in the United States on East Coast time. So we were exhausted. And you're told you got to battle through that first day and you got to make it through and sort of get on, switch over to their time. And I think we made it till like noon. And we were just dying, and we were like, okay, we went back to the hotel and crashed
out. Let's go take that nap now.
Yeah, yeah. And then so everything worked out fine. I mean, I think we woke up at 11 and maybe went and got a snack or something and went back and ended up being able to sleep through the night again. But that definitely is a challenge. Jet lag is a real thing. Yep.
Do you use any credit card points?
Love credit card points. So, yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk about today was really doing your research when you are going to get a credit card. And there's a few things in particular that I really like and benefits that I've used. So one in particular, try to get as many bonus points, for me at least, as you can up front. So I've signed up for cards where I've gotten as many as like 140,000 bonus points up front just for signing up. And you have to spend like a few thousand dollars in the first 90 days. So maybe you do it right before Christmas time when you know there's going to be an outlay of some expenses. And so you can use that card. And then the important thing, is, you know, don't let it get away from you. Obviously try to pay it off shortly after the holiday, but you know, getting those points, I know I once used, and this was with, a Marriott card and I got 100,000 bonus points for signing up. And I used those bonus points. We vacationed in Hilton Head, with the family and stayed at a beautiful hotel on the beach there for 5 nights for free with those points. So, really valuable. I mean, that saved us well over $1,000 to stay at a really nice Marriott on the beach. So the other thing, some of the other benefits that credit cards offer, car rental protection, right? So you get insurance that comes along with those cards. I unfortunately had to go through having to utilize that. So me and the family went to Dallas this summer in June. And if you've ever been to Dallas, you know that the traffic there is pretty intense. And I feel like I'm a good driver and I drive well in urban environments, but I thought that was particularly quite intense there. And got into an accident on one of the highways, did some pretty significant damage to the vehicle. And it took a long time to process, but the credit card covered the entire expense. And it was $16,000 in damage. It took about 6 months. And it was, I wouldn't say it was an easy process because I had to be patient. There was a lot of waiting and sending documents back and forth and whatnot. But to get that protection just for having the card, I think is a huge benefit. Another big benefit when you're traveling, let's say, for instance, traveling overseas, is the conversion fees rate, right? So get a card where you're not going to pay any percentage for conversion to a different currency, right? So it can cost a lot if you don't have a card that provides that. And the other thing is fraud protection, right? When you have a credit card, you're generally going to get great protection from that card, whether it's, you know, Visa, MasterCard, Discover. I don't know that it matters really. But if your card is stolen or if someone is able to get access to your card and make purchases, you're protected. So I think that's really important because, two, you know, if you're using like a debit card, for instance, somebody gets access to your account, that's your cash headed out, right? So, and I've never had a time where I've lost it, right? I've had to, talk to my bank and work through it in the past. But it's much easier to work through that when it's a credit card as opposed to a debit card.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. And so going back to the points, there are so many credit cards when you go think about the niche areas you can really go focus in on to go accumulate more points. And so I know that there's a credit card specifically with Amazon Prime. And so if you're doing Prime shopping, just link your credit card there. Boom, get points. Filling up at the gas station, there's things that can be 4 and 5x multiples for points on that too.
Yeah.
Going out to eat, specific restaurant, points for that too. And so, I mean, there are too many categories for us to go dive into with each one of the cards, but really being able to go find, okay, you can really, there's two strategies that I think that there are. And so you can go with one general purpose credit card that may offer like a flat 2% or 3% back for all the purchases that you make, or maybe this may need to do a little bit more homework behind it, but have 4 or 5 credit cards, but really, okay, this is my gas card, this is my grocery card, this is my A, B, and C, X, Y, and Z card, and then start to accumulate points, which then you can eventually go towards your vacation because that's less money that you have to go spend. I mean, you could end up with a free week's night stay or some free airfare too, which we know in 2024, the price only goes one way most of the time. So
goes up and it's not coming back down to pre-pandemic prices. So the only comment I would make about credit cards, of course, is you have to be honest with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, because some folks don't manage debt well, and it's really easy to get into trouble with a credit card, probably more than with most other options that are out there. So if you know that you're not a credit card person, then maybe just get one, right, and run with it. And you can limit the amount available to you, right? So if you have, you know, a card with a $20,000 limit, maybe you need to call the issuer and have that reduced to a $5,000 limit. Using those points, as long as you can responsibly manage debt, I absolutely take advantage of credit cards. I'm frequently shopping for cards with great bonus opportunities. I tend to really like the hotel cards. And tell you, the reason for that is, of course, most cards these days come with a fee, right? Like a $99 annual fee. And most hotel cards, you get a free night or two through that hotel. And as often as my boys are traveling for soccer, those free nights come in handy frequently. So whether I have a Marriott card, a Hilton card, and I think one of them comes with 2 free nights, and I use those very, every year.
Oh, sure. So. No, I could certainly see that. And for those people who may be a little more materialistic out there, some of the credit cards, they're not only plastic. You got some metal ones out there too. I mean, what I'm about to say, this should not be whatsoever what you should look for in a credit card, but you're trying to show off to some friends, you know, maybe drop a metal credit card out there.
Yeah, right.
Again, more materialistic. Definitely should not be the first thing you go look towards credit cards. But again, a nice little added perk and benefit. So besides these different things, a question I did want to go ask you is relating to other forms of travel. So have you ever taken, you know, maybe it'd be a coach bus or a train anywhere? I mean, should people consider that for budget travels? I mean, I could imagine that maybe taking a train from point A to point B might be cheaper than possibly taking some airfare, possibly.
Yeah. So I think a couple things. I haven't taken a, I've taken like buses and trains once I've gotten to my destination. I haven't taken like a train to a destination. However, I think as you know, one thing about travel too, when you think about it, is time is money, right? So if it's going to take you a day or two to take a train, let's say to California or something, you have to consider what is the cost of losing that day or two. Our, you know, your time off is really valuable. So you don't want to waste too much of it doing something that you're not enjoying. But once you get to your destination, absolutely using different modes of travel. And I think you can learn a lot about a city by learning about it, the way that its subway system works or its rail system or its bus system. And you also get an opportunity to just kind of sit back and just observe the culture a little bit, right? You can sit, I mean, you don't want to be weirdly staring at people as you're going through the traveling with the subway or whatnot. But yeah, it's just a great way to see the city in a different way. I've driven to a lot of destinations, so that's something me and my family have done a lot. That's one of the reasons we have the minivan. Absolutely love the minivan. Probably not the most fashionable vehicle, but by far for me, the most functional vehicle that's out there. Super comfortable for a family of five. We've driven to Florida a number of different times. We've driven to East Coast a number of times. And I tell you, one of the big benefits, there's a few benefits, right? First, the cost savings is, in, especially today.
Well, I mean, you're looking at $400 in gas versus $2,000.
Oh, yeah. Easy. $2,000 might probably be cheap, right?
Yeah.
So incredible cost savings there. The other thing I love, especially if you're traveling with a family, is you can fill up your car, right? It's like when you think about traveling on a plane, there's a cost almost for every bag unless you're flying with Southwest or something, right? So, you know, if you're going to Florida with the family, you can throw your boogie boards in the car, you can throw your sun umbrellas in the vehicle, take all your gear, and you don't have to worry about that once you arrive. You've got all your sort of comfort items in the vehicle with you. So I think you can save a lot, and I think there's a lot of comfort that goes along with traveling by car.
Is Kevin Scorsone boogie boarding, or is that maybe one of your kids?
I am absolutely boogie boarding. I love to boogie board. The kids do too. I get out there with them. There's, you know, I've one of the things that we've done when we traveled, Jody and I, we went to Costa Rica and we took a surfing lesson while we were there. And I absolutely love the ocean. I love the water and I really enjoyed surfing. And there's nothing better than catching a wave, whether it's on a surfboard or on a boogie board. Yeah, I have, you know, hours of video of the kids and I on boogie boards in the ocean and even in the Great Lakes. That's something you can do up north too, as you probably well know.
I have tried that out myself and I found out, much to my wife's amusement, that I do not have that much coordination, but
okay.
Rose incredibly does and showed she did an amazing job with it. I kind of fell down once or twice. I'm like, all right, I'm done with this.
Yeah,
I don't know, the patience kind of hurts when I fall, but sure. Hey, good for you for having coordination.
I love it. Yeah, love it.
Well, great. So I think that wraps up today's episode all about budget-friendly travel. If you guys have any questions or want to go send us in any possible comments or things we want to go touch on the show, please let us know. Thank you again for all tuning in.